The road to Jerusalem. We're not far away from that. Last week, as you know, we started the beginning of that road, actually, where Zacchaeus was up in a sycamore tree in a place called Jericho, right here. And just to put it into perspective, you can see that you have the Mediterranean on the left. We have Jerusalem right here. Here's Jericho. And our friend Zacchaeus entertained our Savior Jesus Christ in his home. And at the end of the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus Christ said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's why, or one of the reasons why, he came to this earth as God in the flesh. And what happened next, and we're going to go on a little road trip this morning, and I'd like to follow this trip from Jericho to Bethany. And a number of things started to happen as Christ proceeded along that road. He had his disciples with him. So here's this entourage of about 13 people. And there were crowds following him from time to time as well, because his name had become well known. And he had done many signs and wonders. And actually, as he was leaving Jericho, he came to this little part here, just south of it. I guess it's south of it. And it says in Mark chapter 10, starting in verses 46 to 50, he talks about healing a blind man. So we have Zacchaeus, who he met, and he was told Zacchaeus and all of us to read that he came here to save the lost. And when he came out of Jericho, as it says, I'm hoping to get it off on my screen here. In Mark chapter, this is home technology is not doing what it's supposed to do today. We're going to have to, if this isn't going to work, I'm going to have to put it down and we'll start again. All right. Apologies. We have Jesus. We have his disciples with him. He has a small crowd following along. And in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46, where it says, they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, so they're coming out of Jericho, they meet a man by the name of Bartimaeus. And he was sitting beside the road, begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus, he began to shout. He said to him, "What do you want of me?" Because Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and said, "Bartimaeus, be quiet, be quiet." He said, "No." He says, and he told them, he shouted more. He says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and called him, and he called the blind man, he called Bartimaeus to him, and he asks in verse 50, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him, and the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to be able to see." And Jesus said, "Go. Go. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So now we have Jesus and his disciples. We have the crowd, and Bartimaeus, now able to see, goes along with him. And they're on their way to Bethany. What has just happened is we've seen Jesus Christ being merciful. We've seen Jesus Christ and his grace being just shown to everyone around him. He's seen Bartimaeus, a man who had faith, take place. And he was able to see, not just see physically, but he was able to see spiritually. He now is able to have some understanding because this person who gave him his sight was the Messiah. And then what happens next? They're starting to go towards Bethany. 6 days after the 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrives in Bethany, where, very interestingly, Lazarus lived, and whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So here we are now. We've gone from Jericho down this 18 miles, and we're in this town of Bethany. And you can see a picture of what Bethany looks like today. Today it's called Al-Elzaria. And what Al-Elzaria means is the place of Lazarus. The place of Lazarus. See, Bethany is actually a pretty interesting place because many things happened at Bethany. Not just Lazarus being resurrected, being brought back from the dead. It also is where Simon the leper was anointed by alabaster oil by a woman. It is also near Bethany, not in Bethany, but very close to Bethany, that the ascension of Jesus Christ took place. And that's recorded in Luke chapter 24. Bethany was a very important place. If we go back to that time where Lazarus was resurrected, there's some very interesting things that are brought to our memory. It's recorded in John chapter 11, verses 17 to 27, and we'll read just a couple of them. But in verse 22, Martha and Mary had called for Jesus to come and say, look, Lazarus is really sick. You've got to come and heal him. And if you don't come and heal him, he's going to die. And unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, it took 4 days before Jesus showed up. And in that period of time, Lazarus did die. And one of the comments from Martha was, if you'd been here earlier, my brother Lazarus would not have died. Why didn't you come sooner? Interestingly enough, there was a purpose behind that. Because even then Martha said, well, God, whatever, even now, God, I know that you will give whatever we ask. And Jesus said back to her, you're right. Your brother will rise again. And then in verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, and even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Ooh, big question. Do you believe that Christ is the resurrection of the life? And that you will live. See, in that little episode so far, we've been given the instruction that you can ask, that you can believe, and that you will be resurrected, and you will not die. Just in those few verses. Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends. It's in verse 35 and 36. It says, see how he loved him, Lazarus. See how he loved him. And then what happens next? Lazarus is in the cave. He's been dead. In fact, in verse 39, they're saying, look, you don't remove the stone. It's going to smell. He's been in there for 4 days. It's, you know, the body's been decaying and it's not very good. But no, Jesus says, take away the stone. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? Ooh, that's very important. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. You'll see the glory of God. You'll see the glory in his work in your daily life each day, but you will also see the glory of God for eternity. So, they took away the stone. And Father, Jesus says, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And then he says, Lazarus, come on out. And Lazarus comes out. He's got these cloths all over him, stinky probably. And Jesus says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And Lazarus goes, just like Bartimaeus, go, go. What do we learn from this part of Scripture that was reminded when we hear that Bethany is the place of Lazarus? We're reminded that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. But the other thing you're reminded to do is to follow the example that Christ gave and says, thank you. He didn't hesitate to stop and say, thank you, God. Thank you. To let me show these people the promise of salvation and that you can be resurrected, that you can be brought back to life from the dead. But then people are saying, well, where was this told before? And in the book of John, in chapter 5, it's even Christ himself says, look, don't be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves, all who are in their graves, not just Lazarus in that behind that stone, says it will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good, what will happen to them? They will rise to live. And those who have done what is evil will be condemned. Jesus was reminding them that there is also judgment. Judgment does happen. Judgment. So now let's go back to the dinner that's taking place in John chapter 12. The disciples and came along with Christ into the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was there having dinner. As actually, it was a dinner in honor of Lazarus, because Lazarus was there reclining at a table with them, and they were having this wonderful meal, or prepared to have this wonderful meal. And as they were doing it, or just about to have it, Mary takes a very expensive perfume. That perfume was worth a whole year's salary for most people. And she takes that perfume and she pours it on the feet of Christ. And then she takes her hair and she wipes his feet with it. What an amazing thing to do. Unfortunately, or fortunately, because it's a lesson that we're going to learn, our good friend Judas, who happened to be there because he was with the disciples, he was all upset. You just wasted a whole bunch of money. We could have used the money for something else. Of course, it says in the scripture that it wasn't the perfume that he was worried about, or the year wages. He was just a thief. He'd been stealing out of the purse that was being used by the disciples on their travels. So then we get to this part where, after Jesus had made that comment about what a waste, Jesus says, leave her alone. Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. He's now predicting, even though he had told his disciples three times earlier, he's predicting he's about to die. He says, you'll always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So what do we learn from this little episode? We've got some messages given to us from Zacchaeus, from Bartimaeus, and now here we are with Mary and Martha, who have been reminding us of what happened with Lazarus. And the message that we get from this little scenario with Mary and Martha is worship. Because that's what Mary was doing. She was worshiping our Lord. She was down on her knees. She was pouring oil on his feet. She was wiping his feet with her hair. She was showing her submission, her trust, and her love. She was showing her deep, deep-seated love for Jesus Christ. It also shows us what our priorities in life should be. Was it more important to worship Christ, or was it more important to have a bunch of money? Pretty meaningful message. And then we learn that a crowd outside found out that Jesus was there. And once again, still in Bethany. And they wanted to see Lazarus because they had heard that he was now alive. But the chief priests, they said, we not only need to kill Jesus, now we need to kill Lazarus as well. Because on account of him, many are going over to Jesus and believing in him. They're not being Jews anymore. Although they are Jews by birth. You see, there are those, even though we have followed this road to Jerusalem so far, that there are those who want to destroy the truth. They want to get rid of Lazarus. They want to get rid of Lazarus because he is a symbol of truth. So I ask, are you on that road? Are you following that road? Are you following Jesus Christ? You see, when we started in Jericho, you had the choice. You were lost, or you are on the road with Christ. And when you're on the road with Christ, he asks you to follow him. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never be in darkness, but will have the light of life. See, that was what Bartimaeus finally experienced. He saw light. So are you still back in Jericho making a decision? Or are you on your way to Bethany? Are you on your way following that road to Bethany where you can call out and say, God, just like Bartimaeus did, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And then receive faith by grace, just like Bartimaeus did. You see, you can be spiritually strong and having faith because his eyes were opened and he was given light. He was given light because his life up to that point in time was pure darkness. Or are you in Bethany already? Are you a worshiper like Mary? Have you put God and Jesus Christ first in your life? You know, those who have been forgiven much end up loving much. See, what was more important to Mary? Possessions, money, whatever, or God. She made it very clear. And then we think about the dinner with Lazarus being there. Can you imagine the joy of the people around? having that dinner, saying, here's this man, he's brought back to life. That's a reason to rejoice. And that's just the same reason that we rejoice when a person comes to Christ and they are born again and they put their old life behind them. That is a reason for joy, just like there was joy at that dinner. Do you believe? That's what everybody was asked. Do you believe? Do you believe? Because if you believe in the resurrection, you believe in the judgment. And if you believe, you will live. So, I think I put this verse back again that we read earlier. Did I not tell you, says Jesus Christ, that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You will see the glory of God. Like Zacchaeus, lost or repentant, he became repentant. Bartimaeus, he showed faith and understood mercy and received mercy. And Mary, she understood what are the priorities in life, worship and love. You see, how we spend our time is an expression of our love. How we spend our time is an expression of our love and who we spend it with. And Mary wanted to spend it with Christ. And Christ said, yeah, spend it with me now because I'm going to be gone soon. But for today, we have the choice, as did Mary and many others, that we can express our love by spending time with Christ. And how do we do that? We do it through prayer. And we do it in God's word. And then we have Lazarus. What does Lazarus represent? He represents that we have hope. That we will be resurrected. Just as he was brought back from the dead. This isn't the end of this trip down the road. The next part of the trip is the most important. But we will wait and do that next week. All I ask is follow Christ. Follow him on this road that we have been given. This is a road of salvation. This is from Jericho to outside of Jericho to Bethany and eventually into Jerusalem. It is a road of salvation. And Jesus Christ asks us to follow him down that road. Make the choice. Don't get lost. Ask for forgiveness. Put your priorities. Accept God's grace. Believe in the resurrection. Be joyful of the life that is brought to people when they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Follow on that road of salvation. Great God, we come before your throne right now and we just thank you. We know, Father, that we're about to approach some very important days that remember what you, Lord Jesus, have done for us. Inspire the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, that we may follow the road. That we follow the road of salvation. We know that by your grace and faith, and by receiving the Holy Spirit, you've guaranteed our salvation. But help us to follow on that road. To understand your grace and mercy and faith. To understand that you are there. To show our love to you by spending time with you in prayer and in study. And reading your word. We thank you, great God. We thank you for your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, that makes this all possible. We thank you that he came to this earth. To teach us, to give us hope, and to pay the penalty of our sins. We just thank you so much, great God. We praise you, we thank you, and we ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.